Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Wild and Free Podcast. I'm super pumped to be back, and I hope that you all enjoy hearing the stories that I have for you today. Our first story was written and performed by my dear friend Odessa, and it's all about painter and botanist Kate Burbage. Our second story is about the famous poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Enjoy!
Hello listeners, I'm Odessa Kay, your co-hostess for Wild and Free and a fellow learner. Today we're going to be talking about Catherine Furbish, commonly known as Kate. So, without any hesitation, put on your listening ears and get snug and cozy and happy and warm and comfortable and homey and soothed and relaxed and unagitated and laid back and nice and ready for me to stop talking, which I will not do because I have a story to tell, so I'm going to tell it now. Okay? Okay, here goes. Kate Furbish was born on the 19th of May, 1834, in a fair-sized town located in New Hampshire called Exeter. Catherine was the only daughter of Benjamin and Mary Lane Furbish, but had five younger brothers. Must have been a heck of a life with so many males in the house. As a child, Furbish lived in Brunswick, Maine, and grew to be deeply admiring of the plants that grew near where she lived. She attended a spate of botanical lectures in Boston from George L. Goodale from around the year 1860, along with a drawing class in Portland, Maine. These courses readied her for her future work. In 1870, Furbish began collecting, studying, and illustrating the flora of Maine using watercolor. She was finally free to do her work when her father, Benjamin, died, leaving her an inheritance that was well enough to sustain her. Energetic and plucky, Kate traveled all around the state of Maine for 38 years. She ventured through the least accessible areas of the state, searching for previously undiscovered plants and painting her discoveries with vast accuracy. It was in 1895 that Catherine founded the Jocelyn Botanical Society of Maine, in which she held presidency in 1911 to 1912. She gave to it her botany journals and knowledge of Maine's greenery. In 1908, Furbish contributed 16 folios of watercolor drawings to Bowdoin College. Her extensive collection of dried flora was donated to New England Botanical Club members who bestowed it upon Harvard University. It was then placed in their gray herbarium. As for her stockpile of ferns, those went to the Portland Society of Natural History. In Furbish's lifetime, she made two botanical discoveries of her own, and excuse any mispronunciations, Aster cotifolius alvar furbishii and Pedicularis furbishii, the Furbish lapswort. She did not feel she needed to marry, and therefore never did. Catherine died December 6th, 1931, in Brunswick, Maine.
Now for our quiz time. Let's see what you can remember about Kate Furbish. Question number one. How many brothers does Kate have? The answer is Kate Furbish has five brothers, or had, rather. Second question. In what 2 years was Furbish the president for the Jocelyn Botanical Society of Maine? The answer is 1911 to 1912. Last question. What was the name of the town Catherine was born in? The answer is Exeter, Pennsylvania. I mean, New Hampshire. Why did I say Pennsylvania? Sorry, guys. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. On February 27, 1807, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was born, the second of eight children at his aunt's house, on the corner of Four and Hancock in Portland, Maine. His parents were Stephen and Zilpa Longfellow. Stephen Longfellow was the son of Stephen and Patience Longfellow. He had studied law and graduated from Harvard University in 1798. He was admitted to the bar in 1801 and married Zilpah Wadsworth in 1804. Zilpah Wadsworth Longfellow was the third of 11 children had by Peleg and Elizabeth Wadsworth. Young Henry grew up in the house that his maternal grandfather, Peleg Wadsworth, had built in 1785 through 1786, the first entirely brick building in Portland. Henry was enrolled in a locally run dame school by the age of 3 and studied there. At age 6, his parents enrolled him in the private Portland Academy where he studied until age 14. While there, he earned a reputation as a diligent and attentive young man who loved to read and was fluent in Latin. His mother saw his love of learning early on and introduced him to more advanced books such as Robinson Crusoe and Don Quixote. He published his first poem in the Portland Gazette at age 13, a patriotic four-stanza poem called The Battle of Lovell's Pond. Henry had a happy childhood, and many of his summers passed happily at his grandfather Peleg's farm in Hiram, Maine. In 1822, Henry and his brother, Stephen, enrolled at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. The Wadsworth Longfellow family had close ties to the college as his grandfather had helped found it and his father was a trustee. There at Bowdoin, Henry met Nathaniel Hawthorne, who would then become a close friend. To start, Henry boarded with a clergyman and then later moved to a room on the third floor in what is now known as Winthrop Hall. While studying at Bowdoin, Henry joined the Pocinian Society, a group of students who leaned towards the Federalist state of mind. In his senior year, Longfellow declared to his father, "I will not disguise it in the least. The fact is, I most eagerly aspire after future eminence in literature. My whole soul burns most ardently after it, and every earthly thought centers in it. I am almost confident in believing that if I can ever rise in the world, it must be by the exercise of my talents in the wide field of literature." As he entered 1824, Henry began submitting poetry and prose to local newspapers. His professor of mental and moral philosophy, Professor Thomas Cogswell Upham, encouraged him in this. When Henry graduated in 1825, he was ranked fourth in the class and promoted to Phi Beta Kappa. He gave the student commencement address. After graduation, Longfellow received an offer to become a professor of modern languages at his alma mater. To accept the position, he was required to tour Europe and study French, Spanish, and Italian. He embarked on his tour in May of 1826 aboard the ship Cadmus. He was gone for 3 years and then traveled to France, Spain, Italy, Germany, back to France, and then England before returning to the United States. His trip was mostly uneventful, and he enjoyed his time. But while he was in Spain, he received heartbreaking news. His favorite sister, Elizabeth, had passed away at the age of 20 due to tuberculosis. Also while he was in Spain, he met the author Washington Irving, who impressed young Longfellow with his dedication and work ethic. Irving inspired Longfellow and encouraged him to keep on writing. In August of 1829, Longfellow made a decision. He wrote the president of Bowdoin College, declining the offer of professorship, saying that he considered the salary of $600 disproportionate to the duties required. Desperate to have Longfellow, the Board of Trustees raised the offending salary to $800 with an addition of $100 if Longfellow would work 1 hour per day as the school librarian. Satisfied with these new conditions, Longfellow accepted. During his years teaching at the college, Longfellow translated textbooks from French, Italian, and Spanish. He also published his first book, which was a translation of the poetry of medieval Spanish poet Jorge Manrique. He then published the book Outremer, A Pilgrimage Beyond the Sea, in serial form before a book version became available in 1835. After the publication of Outremer, Longfellow attempted to join the literary circle of New York. He asked George Pope Morris for an editorial role at one of his publications. He considered a move to New York after the New York University offered to create a professorship for him, but because there was no salary, Longfellow decided to continue at Bowdoin. It must have been joyless work for him, as we hear from one of his writings, "I hate the sight of pen, ink, and paper. I do not believe that I was born for such a lot. I have aimed higher than this." On September 14, 1831, Longfellow married an old childhood friend, Mary Storer Potter. The two moved to Brunswick, but were not happy there. In that time, Longfellow published a few nonfiction and fiction pieces. In 1834, Longfellow received an offer of professorship from Josiah Quincy III, fancy, president of Harvard College, on the condition that he spent some time abroad. Naturally, Longfellow accepted the offer and set out on a long vacation with his wife. Longfellow took the time to study more, typical, and further studied German as well as going Scandinavian when he decided to start learning Dutch, Danish, Finnish, Swedish, and, last but not least, Icelandic. Unfortunately, this vacation took a terrible turn when Longfellow's wife, Mary, had a miscarriage and, after a month of suffering, died. He had her body embalmed and sent back to the States to be buried at Mount Auburn Cemetery near Boston. After Mary's death, Longfellow took the position that he had been offered, and from 1836 to 1854, he worked in that position. In 1841, he married a woman named Frances, or Fanny, Appleton. They had six children, Charles, Ernest, Fanny, Alice, Edith, and Anne. Longfellow kept writing his poetry and publishing books during his marriage to Fanny. This marriage, too, ended tragically when Fanny died in a fire set off by some hot wax that she was attempting to seal an envelope with. After Fanny's death, Longfellow lived until Friday, March 24th, in the year 18-something, when he died from peritonitis. Sorry, that was very vague. I forgot to write down the year. I will tell you in just a minute. Now I'm going to share with you a beautiful short poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow called Aftermath. When the summer fields are mown, when the birds are fledged and flown, and the dry leaves strew the path, with the falling of the snow, with the cawing of the crow, once again the fields we mow and gather in the aftermath. Not the sweet new grass with flowers is this harvesting of ours, not the upland clover bloom, but the rowan mired with weeds, tangled tufts from marsh and meads, where the poppy drops its seeds, islands and the bloom. Alright guys, thank you for listening to yet another episode of Wild and Free Podcast. Thanks for sticking with us through the good times and the bad. And I hope you enjoyed hearing about Henry Wadsworth Longfellow and Kate Burbage. If you'd like to hear more, don't hesitate to send me an email at wildandfreepodcast0@gmail.com. Thanks for listening yet again. See you later.